Wow, like, this is a weird episode.
There, folks, over at CommanderCast.com and MTGCast.com, it's time for another episode of Rivals Duel, the show where Noel will be playing as Ryu and I will be playing as M. Bison. How are you doing, Noel?
Good. I like that reference. Can we use that reference? Often? Yes, I like the Street Fighter reference.
Do you like it because it makes me into a space communist? How are you doing, Noel?
I'm doing great. I am almost recovered from GP Orlando.
You're putting yourself back together one piece at a time?
Yeah, pretty much. Flights if you're a fat kid suck. But beside the point. No, Orlando was sweet. Thanks to everybody who came. We had 2,200 and some players in the main event.
That's a lot of people.
Yep, it was. You know, Cons Limited is sweet. Cons Limited is Cons Sealed is kind of slow, but I like this set. I like this set's limited a lot because it's deep without being complicated. There's a lot of things you can do, but it's not like Time Spiral Block where your brain just vapor locked when you try to do limited.
Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying now.
Like, there was just so much going on in Time Spiral Block that trying to come up with a cohesive strategy was really tough. This, You've got a kind of set number of plans you can go on, but there's still a lot of good choices to make. And the expectation that you're already in 3+ colors makes for a lot of cool decks. It is kind of slower, but it is it's a very neat sealed format to watch.
Absolutely. Imagine if you managed to get the kind of god draws that let you go for a mono or 2-color aggro strategy. You'd also benefit greatly from the fact that the format's so much slower.
Except for anybody can play a third of their deck as 2/2s for 3.
Well, there's that too.
Like just going like, because that was my way to solve the format too, was I was just going to go all in Mardu aggro.
Okay.
That's not the right answer.
Because everyone's just dropping all their morphs to clog up the board?
Because if you do go off and go 1-drop, 2-drop, if you go 1-2-3, they can just drop grizzly bears and trade
forever.
Yep.
Grizzly bears till the end of time!
Pretty much, all the bears.
Alrighty, so we're going to stop off and talk just a bit of impressions about Cons for both of us and just personal stories before we get over to our argument today. Noel, do you want to tell them what we're arguing about today?
Yeah, this is kind of fun. It's funny because sometimes we forget that the premise of this podcast was originally two people arguing about Commander. And so we are back at it with another general face-off, this time on Orzhov, which is funny because it's one of the ones that we said we were going to do right away and then have tabled, I think, about a half a dozen times at this point. Like we've said, we could do that. Let's do this other fun thing first. So now we're finally at it. We will be talking about Black and White, and I will try to avoid making Michael Jackson references and fail miserably.
Oh, dear sweet God. Yeah, but so Cons of Tarkir, you like Cons Limited, but you haven't had a chance to play with Cons in EDH yet at all.
I have played one game of EDH since Cons came out. There may have been cards in the other people's decks that were from Cons. I didn't see them.
Cons has had exactly zero impact on your EDH life so far.
Pretty much.
I will say I have played games with some of the new Cons cards. Some of them are just as exciting as I had hoped that they would be. I haven't playtested a dud yet, but give it time. But the one that really, really stood out was that I got to table a Sarkhan, the Dragon Speaker. And I was a little concerned that I was thinking it's Magical Christmas Land when you were talking about how much you hated him. But that guy's just a beast.
I think he's probably better than I was giving him credit for.
Yeah, no, the first thing he did was come down and kill a Jaleva, and then next turn he turned into a dragon and killed the player who played the Jaleva. So it was, he's already done his work. I've seen him in one game, and he was just a house. So I'm very, very, and the first thing that happened is I played him, I killed the Jaleva, and then the guy sitting beside me who wasn't the person playing Jaleva, leans over and he's like, oh, that deal 4 damage ability was way better than I thought it would be. And I was like, yeah, you think?
Yeah, Flame Tonkavu's just fine.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so we'll talk more cons shop in the preamble bits in the next couple episodes, just because we're playing with it and that's all our new toys until the new Commander product comes out.
Sure, and I know that we want to, at some point, both of us have talked about building a Mardu deck before, and at some point we'll do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We will likely do a Let's Build on one of the new generals. Guys, if you want to pick something that isn't Mardu or something like that, vote below. Like, just make in one of the comments or tweet at us which new general or which general you'd like us to do a Let's Build on. We have one in the pipe that promises to be something special, but that's something we're probably going to...
Only because it's going to make you hate yourself, which makes it even better for me.
Yeah, I know. It's the Noel Wins episode of Rivals Duel.
Yeah. At some point, Eric will get to pick a general, and I will get to just smile and nod, but for now... we're way off track.
We are, but we're coming back, because we're going to be moving on. Noel, any other personal stories of EDH Shuri?
Not really. Just, had a good time. It's funny, I do want to do a shout-out to this is my shout-out to the EDH community as a whole.
Okay.
In that, I remember one of the big reasons I got involved with Commander Cast and thought I had something to say about the whole thing was how lousy of a time I had at judging a Commander event at GP Denver 2 years ago.
Okay.
Almost 2 years ago now. And how much I hated the fact that this event had happened and what happened at it. And it was just this combo fest of stuff. And I want to say that now, almost 2 years later, I think it's maybe because we've grown as a format, or maybe TOs are getting smarter about how they run Commander events at these kind of tournaments. But those, like, people grinding Commander pods for value, air quotes, are gone. And, like, people who are there playing Commander at Miami, from what I saw anyway, were there to have a good time and play Commander.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it.
Like that. So to those of you who have, you know, been fighting the good fight now or have hunkered through it, or maybe people who have just swore off, I will never play Commander at a GP again because it's these combo-tastic, terrible slugfests that end on turn two and just people eating my money, I'd encourage you to try them again because from what I was seeing, people were having a good time.
That's awesome.
It was just typical Commander.
It's also, it could be that people are so used to playing multiplayer now that they can identify the problem decks and keep it all down.
But it's not even that, because even, it's people aren't, it's not so much that people aren't, it's people that aren't bringing those shotguns to this kind of fight.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, I didn't see the, you know, if anything, you see, like, the, it's funny, because you see, like, the green-blue answers to those decks.
Okay.
Like, I've seen, you know, Cass at General Damage Control has a list he's put together that's just designed to just trounce those kind of decks.
Like the combo decks or the ad nauseam, like
everything. It's a metagame answer deck.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Who's the general?
I think it's Simic Lady, Zagana.
I may have to take a look at that.
Yeah, and it's just it's even stuff like pulling combo pieces out or some cards that really aren't necessarily EDH playable, but really good against those kind of decks, like Jester's Cap.
Oh yeah, nice. Those are when you get like a super nasty combo deck with one of those, it's one of the best feelings you can have.
When you can quote get somebody with one of those, yeah. But those kind of decks you see, but the problem is those kind of decks opponents aren't there. People don't have the ad nauseum tendrils, the infinite turns a zombie, the turn one five color good stuff hermit druid decks just don't show up to these anymore.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're getting to judge your kind of EDH. I'm actually really happy to hear that. I'm glad that things are going well at those kinds of things.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's the kind of like especially at a bigger event like a GP, that's what you want to see. You want to see this is EDH is at its heart a casual format.
Absolutely.
And it should be the casuals having a place to go and play at these GP events. So, just a little side note, but I don't know if we've grown as a community, or whether we've all just kind of passed it on, or maybe it's because the TOs now no longer offer store credit, they're all just giving packs out as prizes for that.
Could be.
Which could be kind of how it's grinding down. But Commander events are firing, and the people who are in them are having a good time.
Awesome. Well, on that positive note, we will be moving into our argument segment, I believe. Other than, I suppose that the one story I have to tell is that on the last Thursday night, while I was on the last episode of Commander Cast and I was recording that, I was building my Lysolda deck. I was rebuilding it, and I was very excited to try out all the new cards. The very next day at work, on Friday, my coworker came in and was just like, "Hey, I'm going to have a multiplayer Magic event on Saturday at my place." And I was like, "I just took apart Purphoros for Lysolda." And he's just like, "Well, you know, we can... whatever, it's fine, you can just play Lysolda and stuff," but I'm like, "But it's multiplayer fun shenanigans, I want to play Purphoros. Purphoros is my fun multiplayer deck." And he's just like, "Well, then put it back together." So that night, I go back and take apart Lysolda, without ever having played her, and put back together Purphoros. Then on Saturday, he comes and tells me it's cancelled. Now, we did end up playing a couple games, he uncancelled it, but it was pretty just like, "Oh my god, unsleeve everything, re-sleeve this, unsleeve everything, re-sleeve this." Because now, as we record this Orsov argument, Rivals Duel, I am rebuilding Lysolda.
Now, you see, you could do what most people do, and that's build more than one EDH deck at a time.
I could, but they had a lot of crossover, and Lysolda had all of my new cons cards going, and I really wanted to test them out in... The problem was is that I wanted to test out all my new Lysolda toys and all my new Purphoros toys, and a lot of those overlapped.
This is why you get two copies of cards.
You know what? I was on short notice. I did not have time to go out and get another Sarkin. Thank you very much.
All I hear is wah, 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 wah.
No, that's all you hear whenever I open my mouth.
Pretty much. He's only the adults from Peanuts.
All right, let's move into the argument so I can wah in Noel's ear.
All right, so like we said, we're discussing Orzhov today. This one should be a lot of fun because Orzhov is a very deep wedge for multicolor. Black and white have a lot of things going for it. All the removal for all the stuff.
Also, all the expensive bombs, surprisingly. Think of some of the nastiest cards in black and white, and they cost like 7-8 mana. It's crazy.
Yeah, there is some nasty stuff in black and white. They have a lot of good utility in them. Vindicate is the one that comes to mind, but still a lot of just solid, there's a lot of solid cards, and a lot of different ways you can build black and white.
Oh, absolutely.
I think is what's going to end up happening with our argument.
Oh, yeah, that could potentially be it, but my choice is actually based on the fact that I think that there's a lot of directions you can take my general, and that's what I'm happy with.
Okay, but why don't you start with yours, then?
Yeah, no more teasing. I'll also say that mine was a dead heat between two potential generals, because I think both are really, really good, both do really devastating things to board states, and it was literal at the last minute I had to pick between both of them, and it came down to the mana cost on the general.
So Selenia Dark Angel and Triad of Fates, right?
Obviously. The general I'm going to be arguing is the best Orzhov general is old school Tesa Orzhov Scion. However, I will put out an honorable mention to Vishkal the Blood Arbiter, who I think is an amazing general, and I definitely would knock someone for playing him.
Okay. Give us the cliff notes on why Tesa.
Tesa has two... She's, just for those of you who don't know about her, she's a 3-mana human. She's got a pretty small body, but her ability is what makes a big difference. The first one is that whenever a black creature you control dies, you get a 1/1 flying white spirit into play, which is huge. The other ability is that you can sacrifice 3 white creatures in order to exile any creature on the board, which is also huge. The fact that she costs 3 is really nice because you can keep recasting her, but mostly it's just the fact that she gets you a ton of value and versatility. Those are two really cool abilities on a 2/3 body, which is okay for 3 mana. And she is, I feel like, obviously, though she lends herself to using a bunch of tokens and using a bunch of graveyard effects, which Black-White would probably be doing anyway, I think that you can take that base and go in a lot of different directions with it. Because I've seen hard combo Tesa, but I've also seen total control stacks Tesa, and I've seen aggro Tesa, which is the deck I used to play when I had her built. So I just think that you can take those core really powerful abilities, and I've seen them go in so many different directions, and the versatility of it, the fact that it costs 3, and the fact that it really affects the board is what makes me choose Tesa.
Okay, fair enough. My choice is actually a little bit more recent. I'm going with Obsidat Ghost Council. Big Papa Obsidat.
I was going to say, I would not... I kind of see you picking it, but I really didn't see you picking it.
Who did you think I was going to pick? And if you say New Tesa, I'm going to be upset with you.
I thought you were going to pick Vishkal.
Oh, okay. I can see why you... Okay. Vishkal is also close for me. Athreos is also very close for me.
See, I could see someone picking Athreos, too, just for the kind of unexpected option. I've played against a couple Athreos decks. I think they're super fun, but unfortunately, the thing that knocks Athreos out of the running for me, which is likely the same thing that knocks it out of the running for you, is that his really cool ability mostly just says, whenever a creature you control dies, Lightning Bolt target opponent.
Yep, pretty much. Athreos is one of those cards that could have been so cool. Like, on paper, it looks so cool, but 3 life just isn't enough of a tax to keep people from not letting me kill my skin render over and over again.
Exactly.
So, why I'm on Obsidat? Obsidat's in a sweet spot in that it... I like playing Obsidat, and I like playing Obsidat kind of as a... The way I see Obsidat decks built best is kind of as a mid-rangey, I will endure longer than you will. Obsidat's cost is not bad. It's only 5 mana. Admittedly, white, white, black, black, but that's not that bad or that unusual for this color combination. Odds are if you're in white, black, you're probably not playing a whole bunch of lands that only produce colorless anyway, because you probably can't afford to, because there's a lot of triple white and triple black spells you want.
Absolutely.
When he comes in, opponent loses 2 and you gain 2. This is a fairly small... In that no one's mad if that you lose 2 life. Like, 2 life is to me at this weird spot where it's just acceptable enough. Like, if you lightning bolt me, that means you want something. If you shock me, okay, whatever, you did. But on the same point, when you do that every turn, that little bit of incremental advantage builds up. And then the part I actually like about him a lot is at the beginning of your end step, you may exile Obsidat. If you do, return it to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of your next upkeep, and it gains haste. So what you have is a threat that's only there on your turn. You cannot use Obsidat on defense, but he's a 5/5 attacker that's very hard for your opponents to kill.
Yep, I agree with everything you said. My problem with Obsidat comes down to the fact that I think that good Obsidat mid-range deck that you talked about is the only Obsidat deck.
I've seen Obsidat be very control. I've seen Obsidat be every instant speed Wrath effect you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a cool way to build it. On your end step, Wrath, on my turn, drain you 2, hit you for 5, is not the worst way to play. Like, I've seen very control-y Obsidat decks. Also, if you're in a meta that's very Wrath-heavy, you always have an answer... As long as you're not the one playing the Wrath. And if you're playing Wraths and Obsidat, you're playing things like Rout or stuff that has instant speed to where you don't...
Top Indeterminus kind of plays, or you're playing with a Vedalken Orrery, or you're playing with some way that you can get your Wraths out on at a time when Obsidat is not on the board.
Yep. And so especially if you're in a Wrath-heavy meta, Obsidat serves as a constant source of damage while also gaining you life that you can use to your advantage, especially because that we're in black. There's so much, Necropotence is the classic example, but Greed is one of my favorite cards, Erebos, there's a lot of stuff. Obsidat can also get kind of combo-y. A lot mm-hmm. of times Obsidat will run the Exquisite Blood Sanguine Bond combo, or something that lets you play with the life that you're losing. This also gives you a way to use that life for other resources. My Obsidat deck isn't so much mid-rangey, as it's kind of a mid-range control, and the idea being that my resources are more flexible, my lands can become creatures, or not my lands, but my life can become creatures, can become spells, can become cards. And that if my resources are more fluid than yours, then I will win the game.
See, my problem with that build of Obsidat is that it, I find, personally, it doesn't stay Obsidat very long. That deck tends to turn into Alloro, because they, people with the Alloro decks like the fact that even though Obsidat is hard to answer, Alloro is nearly impossible to answer. So they, I've seen most of the Obsidat decks that played the life gain game switch over to Esper.
Sure, and you can do the same things with Esper, but there's also something to be said for not being the Alloro player. and that's not a scam, but you know what I mean? Alloro has this reputation of when it gets flipped over as this is my commander, people go, okay, since you're secretly starting at 60, we're going to beat you down so that you actually start at what looks like 35.
I'm not laughing at what you said because it's wrong. I'm laughing at what you said because it's funny.
Like it's just like somebody flips over Marlon of the Mournsong. You assume it's black combo. Like, Alloro,
oh, yeah.
Or Derivi, or Xur the Enchanter. Like, Alloro for me is the exact kind of card I wish I could play in Esper, but comes with too much baggage.
So you're saying that it's like the Obsidaz is the undercover don't generate hate version of that.
Sure, we can go with that. Plus it fits on your thing of not having, like, not every deck has to have blue in it.
Yeah, I do. I do hate blue. This is a deck that I could actually play.
Yeah. And you have, and whether secret, I know what you look at on the internet. You have a deep love for Necropotence, so.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love Necropotence, but it's just that.
This is a delightful way to use Necropotence.
This is a delightful way to use Necropotence. I still, it's one of those things that when I look at the life gain, I still want something that's going to affect the board a bit more than Obsidat, is my problem. Obsidat is very, very good at affecting players, and that's it. He doesn't really do anything to the board at all. So if I was looking at the black-white life gain deck, I'd probably play, again, Vishkal. Because Vishkal, though he's not going to be gaining me two life every turn, if I can get that Greaves sack, just swing in with him once, gain like 10 life, that's a huge amount of advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's my personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with Obsidat is that he's really, really cool way of interacting with other players, but he just does so little to the board itself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you build around your card. Let me do my reason why Taysa bores me.
Okay, let's hear why Taysa is not fun.
Because while there's a lot of ways to build Taysa, they all turn into the same Taysa deck.
Like, how's that?
They all turn into, like, every time I see Taysa, I go, this could be cool. It'll be, and then it slowly turns into, I play the card Darkest Hour, I one mana combo, or I one card combo and just win.
That's fair, and I would say that Taysa is obviously always going to run Darkest Hour. I'm not going to try and disagree with that, but I don't think she's the only general where you're going to be like, well, obviously I'm going to run this card, and I don't think that's enough reason to discount her personally. If I sit down across from, I don't know, who's a general like that, but I'm just trying to think of, like, generals where you know that there's a card being played alongside it.
Yoira and Yakalops.
Well, Yoira and Yakalops. I was trying to think of a fun example. Thank you very much. But, like, if I'm playing against a Jaya Ballard deck, I know that there's going to be Urza's Glasses in that, right? Urza's Glasses is the one that... No, Urza's Glasses in the... Distorting Lens. Change the color of target permanent. I know that Jaya Ballard is going to be playing Distorting Lens so she can blow up permanents. I don't think that makes Jaya any less of a fun or cool deck. I just because I know one of the cards that's going to be in there. And I don't think that, though Taysa does, yes, Taysa always plays Darkest Hour. I've never seen a Taysa deck that didn't play Darkest Hour. I don't see that many other similar cards across it. I see a lot of people who play stuff like Bloodglast and Reassembling Skeleton and Sack Outlets because they want to generate tokens that way. And then I see other people who go the route where they're playing Hero of Bladehold, Geist Honored Monk, and other just one-off token generators because they're like, I'm going to skip the middleman. I don't want to be messing with those graveyard shenanigans at all.
Hang on just a second. I realize that we haven't done this yet. For those of you who are going, what the hell are they talking about? Darkest Hour is an enchantment for one black because all creatures are black.
So the idea with Taysa is that even your white creatures are black now. So your tokens die to make more tokens. And it's an I always have a creature combo.
Yeah. And what happens is it inevitably gets paired with, like, Blood Artist or something like that to where it's, I win because I sack infinite dudes, or...
The old one used to be Blasting Station. Blasting Station was used because it was a sacrifice outlet and a way to win the game all in one.
Sure. But some way to keep the game going like that. And I think that's one of the problems with Absolute Power Corrupts Absolutely, is that Taste of X all start out the different ways, and then gradually they kind of, we'll put this one in, and we'll put this one in. And maybe that's just been my luck with Taste of X, that they just kind of, they all seem to eventually gravitate into a... some kind of combo win, where one thing I like about Obsidian is that without just building it into the deck, it's very hard to have a combo win with Obsidian.
That's fair, but I don't know. I don't know if I disagree, if I agree with that. I've never seen an Obsidian deck that didn't run Exquisite Blood or Sanguine Bond.
I run one and not the other, for that exact reason.
You run one and not the other to be a contrarian.
I run one and not the other because I hate infinite combos in Commander. Like, I have to take them out of my decks because they make me feel dirty.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'm not sure that we should be using you as the gold standard for that decks.
I think we should be using me as the gold standard for everything, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, sure, and then we'll start using me as the representative for clique control counter. That all sounds about right.
Who wants to see... how much money would we have to get donated to make Eric play Click Control on a live stream?
You would have to buy the deck for me. You would have to pay me enough money to convince me to play... You know what? It's one of those sneaky things where, like, I don't think that you could actually pay me enough money to do it. Like, if you offered me money, I'd just say no outright. But if someone was like, if you do this, I will donate X amount of dollars to charity, I'd just be like... I don't know if I can morally say no to that. But yeah, no, it's, you to get me to play a blue deck again, you would have to pay me a lot of money.
So let's, so we've talked a little bit about our kind of choices, and I feel like it's very much a question of philosophy. And we've hit kind of the big philosophies of black-white. Like,
okay.
You've said tokens, you've said stacks, we've said mid-range, we've said...
graveyard shenanigans.
Yeah, black white is another good one for graveyard shenanigans. Play Resurrection, the OG reanimator spell.
Oh yeah, I've got a Time Spiral version of Resurrection. That card makes me smile.
I have an FNM promo Resurrection that I got because it was an FNM promo, and I keep looking at trying to figure out what I'm gonna do with it. But
you're not gonna do anything with it. I've never played my Time Spiral Resurrection in any deck. It's gonna sit there, and you're gonna wish you played it, but you never will.
Yeah. let's see, what else can we do with Obsidian? With not with necessarily the Obsidian, but I feel like we're going to hit one of these. Hey, our argument didn't argue again.
Well, it's one of those things. My problem with Obsidian is that I'm bored by it. Everything you said about Taysa to me really applies to Obsidian. I know exactly how a game against Obsidian is going to go. My problem with it is that I think that within that, Obsidian is a less interesting. It has less potential, and it does less to the board.
Okay, that's fair. God, I just sounded like you.
Say I win. Say I win.
I
tap, damn it.
No, I will call this one a draw. I will not say you won.
Everyone at home knows.
No, and we're in a very same boat. It comes down to play style. Why do all these arguments end this way? It comes down to play
style. Because we're both gentlemen.
Yeah, at the end of the day, good day, sir.
At the end of the day, you play what you want, and I play what I want, and it's only going to matter when we're smashing each other in the face with them.
Yeah, which never happens, because we live a long ways away, and both of us hate Moto.
Yep. but if, so we're talking about these two are in contention for the best spot. So what do you have to say about Vishkal? Because we both agreed that he was a close second for both of us.
Vishkal, just a second, real quick, let me pull up the Oracle text on it, because I know it does a bunch of stuff, but I don't actually remember what it all does.
Vishkal is 5 mana for a flying life, oh no, 7 mana for a flying lifelink 5/5. And his ability is sacrifice a creature. Is it another creature or just a creature?
I found it. I've got the Oracle text here.
Sweet.
Vishkal is a... Now, admittedly, he has a horrendous mana cost. It's black, black, white, and four. He is a vampire. He's a 5/5. Sack a creature, put X plus one counters on Vishkal, where X is the sacked creature's power. And you can remove all plus one counters from him. Target creature gets neg one until end of turn for each counter removed this way.
Yep. So the really cool thing about him is that obviously because he comes down so late, you clearly set up a board presence at that point, and you can basically use him to usually wipe out your opponent's field by sacking the right number of creatures, or at least wipe out the biggest threat. The other thing you can do is pump him up for either an instant win or a one just big swingy life hit, because you'll be dealing like 9 damage to your opponent and gaining 9 life yourself, which is cool. And the other thing is that he's near impossible to tuck.
Yes, because he can sack himself, he's very hard to keep off the board. One thing I did not say about Obsidian that now I'm thinking about, or something that we should talk about since we're talking black one anyway, Extort is sweet in multiplayer.
Extort is pretty fun in multiplayer.
Because you're, it's another way, like, one thing I love about black-white, and especially the black part of black-white, is that white is good at gaining life, black is good at spending it.
Oh, yeah. As I was mentioning, I am building my Lysolda deck, again, and as I'm doing it right now, I'm just looking at the cards, and I'm just like, it's gonna feel good to end every game at 7 life again.
Yeah. Note to self, add Loxodon Warhammer. But to me, looking at it, like, with the extort mechanic, because it's a multi, it doesn't skew well with multiplayer, or skews very well with multiplayer, depending on how you want, building a deck to abuse the life gain from Obsidat also is fed by that. Like, Pontiff of Blight is one of my favorite cards from Dragon's Maze, because it gains me so much life. Like, there are definitely times when it's just been like, cast a spell, drain you all for 7, gain 21, and I don't think you can win anymore. The aggro deck sure can.
Yeah, no, it's gaining a bunch of life is super fun. I think Vishkal does that while affecting the board more, but it's definitely a really cool thing to play with. Stuff like that in black-white is huge. The other thing to look at in black-white is look at their big finishers, because they have so many super expensive cards that are really good when you're looking at stuff like Ashen Rider, Identity Crisis, and it's just like just cards that make such an impact on the board but they cost like upwards of 8 mana, yeah, which
cost,
is ridiculous.
They cost a million mana, but one could argue that Vishkal is also one of those cards. Like I can see playing Vishkal in a deck that's not a Vishkal Commander deck.
I will say that basically any Orzhov deck I build probably isn't going to have Vishkal at the helm, but it's almost certainly going to have him in it.
Yeah, and the next part is Orzhov is also designed to go long. You know, you have all the Wraths, so...
Yep, it's a really good... Orzhov's just a really, really fun color all around, but it's one where it's easy... It's also, we should mention, easy to fall into traps with Orzhov. When you're looking at the interactions of the different cards, the way you're going to be gaining life and spending life and stuff like that, it's very, very easy to trip and fall and accidentally end up in Magical Christmas Land.
Yeah, or you end up, remember, it's all about finding a balance of life gainers and life spenders. Because mm-hmm. being at a million life doesn't help you if you can't win. And being at 2 life and having all the cards in your hand while your opponents kill you, you still lose.
Yeah, exactly. So these are all like Orzhov factors to consider. But let's look at some of the other runners-up. We already talked about why Athreos did not make the top 10 list. Can we agree that Triad of Fates and Nutesa are just bad, regardless of what everyone's going to say in the comments?
Okay, I will admit, okay, speaking of cards that cost too much but are kind of cool finishers, Nutesa's not bad.
Nutesa's horrendous to me. Tell me why Nutesa isn't the worst garbage ever.
It has pro creatures on it. That's a very powerful set of words when one of the big strategies is swing with 21 damage from a specific creature.
Yes, you now have one blocker that does not fly.
True.
I would take pro one color, any color, over pro creatures any day.
Disagree.
Just because you can dodge removal spells with it.
Yeah. Dread plus pro creatures. Like, her second ability is also sweet, because if they do connect with you, the creatures die. So they have to Alpha Strike you, and you get dudes equal to it.
That's nice.
Creature-based combat becomes infinitely harder with Taysa on the board.
How much does she cost again?
Seven. Seven mana is a lot.
Seven mana is a lot.
She also has Vigilance, so you get free shots with her, too.
Oh, yeah, free shots with Taysa. The seven mana, what, 5/5?
4/4. But it's four
mana.
Oh,
my God!
That they can't block with any of their creatures because she has pro dudes.
Oh, hooray. I hate new Taysa.
You
She's
who
so
you
bad.
Who lives and dies by inches is going to complain about four almost unpreventable damage.
No, I'm not going to complain about four unpreventable damage. I'm going to complain about four unpreventable damage on turn 9.
Still unpreventable damage that also protects you on the backswing.
Oh, stop.
I'd say
no.
This card is not unplayable garbage. There are so many Orzhov cards that are unplayable garbage. This isn't necessarily one of them. Is it as good as, like, Angelic Arbiter? Not Angelic Arbiter. Who am I thinking of?
Here's what I'll say about new Taysa. She is better than Triad of Fates, but she's worse than Selenia.
Disagree.
No, I'd play Selenia over her.
I need to look up what Selenia does, but I remember it's terrible.
She's like a 5/5, 5 mana, 4/4 for flyer.
She's a 3/3/4/5. Black okay. 3, flying, pay 2 life to bounce her to your hand.
There you go. I'll make a Selenia flicker deck. I'll make bad odds of that.
And you're not doing anything, but you're paying life to bounce her back to your hand.
I'd still take her over new Taysa.
Boo, disagree, and you're lying to yourself.
I'm not lying to myself.
I put both of them in front of you, you'd absolutely pick new Taysa.
There's no goddamn way I'd pick new Taysa. There's no way. At that mana, there's so much better stuff I can be doing.
But you wouldn't take it over Selenia. Alright, enough of that.
I'm pretty sure I'd take it over Selenia. I'd take Selenia over a new Taysa.
You want to say that impact of the board? Taysa has an impact. This is literally a deal-with-me card.
Yeah, it's a deal-with-me card, but it's also... It's never gonna... Well, I suppose it can block. It's a good blocker. It's got that over Obsidat. Yeah. But it doesn't... It does very...
It also dreads your side of the... Like, it gives you dudes and kills their dudes if they attack you.
It's a
rattlesnake card, but it's not bad. It's not... I'm by no means advocating for it as a thing, but you are making it sound terrible.
Okay, I will,
Say it! Say my name!
No, I still go for Selenia.
No, you won't. Now it's just pride that's being...
Okay, hang on. You know what I will say? If it was part of the 99, I would take Taysa over Selenia. If we were picking generals, I would take Selenia every time.
I don't know, because Selenia's that bad. Anyway. Alright. Did we miss any? I think we've got them all. Oh, we have to talk about Ghost Council.
Oh, old school Ghost Council. Obsidat's predecessor. Do we care now that Ghost Council is out?
It is one cheaper than Obsidati.
But you have to sack stuff to flicker it.
True.
And sacking can be fun sometimes, but if you're going to be sacking, play Vishkal or Taysa.
True. I will say this, there's definitely ways to build a Ghost Council deck. Most of them involve making love to the card Grave Pact, but...
That's a mental image I'm going to have to wash out with napalm.
I could have said make love to Dictate of Erebos, and that would have been worse. Anyway, so we've covered all the legends. This is the part where I say shout-outs to Vindicate.
Vindicate's a pretty powerful card. Unmake, new card, just as powerful.
You're looking for Utter End, not Unmake, but I'll forgive it. Unmake's also good, except for it's triple black-white.
No, I meant Utter End. You're right. I would never play Unmake. I have a full art Unmake. It's another one of those cards that you keep thinking you're going to put in a deck and you never do.
It lives in the on-deck binder. Other fun black and white cards people don't play. Moving on.
all the good black-white cards are very famously known, I think.
Like, I don't know those things to say. Tomb of the Archangel or Vault of the Archangel is good.
Yep, absolutely. Let us hear which one you think is the winner on this guy, because I'm pretty sure Taysa won, Noel is pretty sure we drew, but come on, fans at home, we know.
Okay,
we know.
Fans at home, tell us. And if we're wrong about one of the other five Orzhov generals, I think it's five, sounds like five, close enough, then tell us. We'd love to hear everybody else's opinion. Because obviously we don't have a very good one today.
we would love to hear why you think that Seleni is actually the best of the generals and we were all wrong.
If you can prove it, I will send you a Rivals Duel playmat.
No! Pop quiz! Make a good triad of Fates deck. Go!
I need a bunch of haste enablers. I need ways to untap it. I need... Oh, there's a lot of work for nothing. Like, I'm going to build a complicated Rube Goldberg device to try to make Triads of Fates good, or I could just play a real card.
Yep. No, Triad of Fates is utterly underwhelming.
I think Triad of Fates is a legendary creature to keep it from being super confusing, and, like, it's kind of the reason why Thalia is. It's for balancing in Limited and in Standard.
Like, really? Did it get played in Limited and in Standard?
No, but can you imagine a deck where I can play four of them?
Oh, okay, that's a fair point.
Yeah, because it can
get rid of... I understand now.
Yeah, you can describe a lot of stuff if I can blow up two things a turn with four Triad of the Fates.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, all right.
Yeah. that I think is the reason why that is legendary.
Makes sense, I'll buy it.
Yeah, same reason why, like... Madomi the Ageless from Theros is legendary. Not because it was a legendary creature that had any kind of plot significance, but because it needed to be, because playing four of them is gross.
I think playing one Madomi the Ageless is gross if you can find a way to get infinite turns.
Yeah. Well, with four, it's really easy because you just swing each time.
Yep, that would do it. All right, so we're way off track now, but...
Wow. So apparently when we've gone through all 26 and have to go back and redo some of them, redoing this one will probably be a wise choice.
Yeah, no, this is definitely the reel it back in fishing episode of Rivals Duel.
Yeah, we shipped it pretty hard this time. Maybe I shouldn't do these after trips anymore.
Rivals Duel with a jet lag? I apologize.
Oh, by the way, that's something I do need to say to everybody. I'll say it at the end. That way, if I end up cutting a bunch of this crap, I don't have to say it twice. Are we at the end? I think we're at the end.
I think we're at the end.
Okay, so before we go into our outro, I do need to apologize because I do try to keep this show PG-13 when I cut it. There was a swear word that I missed while I was editing. My sincere apologies.
Oh no! Did you miss a bleep on me?
I did.
Oh, and of course it's me. Does this mean I need to apologize for swearing?
Well, you probably should, but I'm the one who, at the end of the day, I'm the one who cuts the show together, and I'm the one who missed it, so
I'm sorry for whatever I said. I'm sure it was very offensive, and I apologize.
Yeah, so to those of you who, I feel bad because I do try to keep it PG-13, and I continue to do that again, so my bad.
I'm sorry. I just make all sorts of busy editing work for Noel.
Pretty much. Like, I can't just, like, sit in the back and let this run, but,
Definitely not on this one.
Yeah, I gotta, so much that's gonna get cut out of this. But anyway, well, I'll go ahead and wrap this up. If you liked our stuff, we'd love to hear a comment below. We're kind of getting low on fan mail as far as fan topics, so you get stuff like this. If you, if you have something you'd like us to talk about, we'd way rather talk about that than the random stuff we've come up with. So hit us up either on the comments below at MTGCast or on CommanderCast. We do read them both. On our Facebook page at facebook.com/rivalsduel. If you have an RSS feed, our RSS feed is feeds.feedburner.com/rivalsduel. And if you'd like to email us personally, my email is noelclausen, NoelClausen @gmail.com, or I am on Twitter on @mtgnoel.
Yep. And I am, you can get a hold of me at ericbonvie@gmail.com. That's ericbonvie. You can also get a hold of me at @thatbonvieguy on Twitter. And, just make sure, I know this episode was somewhat of a train wreck, with Noel being jet lagged and our argument basically boiling down to, I like this one better. Well, I like this one better. But, please make sure you stay tuned for the next episode because we are doing a Let's Build and I think it's going to be a fun little treat.
Yeah, I think our Let's Build will be fun. But anyway, again, guys, have a great day and thank you for listening.
Yep, see you guys next time. I mean, I'm Canadian, so I'm basically a space communist already.
Welcome to a very special episode of Rivals Duel. Hey, look at the stuff that gets cut out of the podcast.
That was a sentence that you said, and it made sense.